Caleb Yerike has gone through the kind of disaster the Pacific Northwest is supposedly due for. I met him in Sendai, Japan, and asked about a fateful day, March 11th last year. Ironically, that day, Yerike was organizing a fundraiser for earthquake victims in his faraway hometown of Christchurch, New Zealand, when the tables turned. You remember the magnitude 9.0 quake that rocked northeast Japan.
It lasted for 5 minutes. We had to evacuate to go outside, and then it just started snowing for 30 minutes. That's all I remember is being cold.
The recent university graduate was unhurt. His next instinct was to locate other expat workers in the city and confirm they were okay. But the electricity was out and would stay out for the next 3 days. Phone lines were inoperable or jammed. Yerike says in Sendai, cellular service and mobile data came back first.
A lot of people could use their smartphones, so they access Facebook and would update to say that they're okay.
Yerike says he wasn't a big fan of Facebook until this happened.
I didn't actually think it would be as useful as it was, but I would say that after the earthquake, everyone was on Facebook, and so I'm glad I do have a Facebook account because I was going to close it down beforehand.
Yerike also made sure his survivor status was posted on Google Person Finder. Google activated this temporary internet database to help friends and relatives find missing people in the disaster zone. This is a function traditionally performed by local government or the Red Cross. So what's Google doing here? Ask Christian Adams. He's a software developer with Google's in-house crisis response team.
In times of crisis, people will go to the tools that they know and use regularly. In their daily lives, people use Google Search. They use Google Maps. These are the places they go for information.
He says Google is not trying to be an alternative to official sources, rather to make those sources more effective.
Technology is changing so quickly these days that it's hard for anybody to keep up with the new ways of doing things and the best and latest ways of publishing data. So we try to work with many organizations to help them do that better and to get their information out.
Government agencies have been slower to jump onto social media platforms than the private sector. Among recent converts are some Northwest Wildfire Incident Commanders. Chris Erickson is a public information officer for the U.S. Forest Service. This summer, she says social media is allowing her to listen and respond from the fire command post in ways she could never before.
We can sort of hear over the backyard fence discussions among neighbors. We can join groups. We can hear discussion groups and blogs, and we can get a sense or a pulse of the community and how it's feeling.
Change is also coming to county emergency operations centers. In a major disaster, the center in Vancouver, Washington, now has several workstations dedicated to staying on top of Twitter, YouTube, public posts on Facebook, and other social media sites. Emergency manager Cheryl Bledsoe says those channels can provide real-time intelligence from what is basically an army of citizen journalists.
They're seeing, you know, something on fire and taking pictures of it, and it gives us a much better picture in here of what the disaster looks like outside these four walls.
It's already up here.
Bledsoe has two computer monitors on her desk. She scans and sorts multiple incoming streams of internet chatter with practiced ease.
A lot of different things I monitor, but there's...
Yeah, Bledsoe knows you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
You do see fake information go into the social media streams, but it also gets corrected very quickly.
During a big emergency, Bledsoe hopes Facebook and Twitter users collaborate to solve some problems themselves without drawing on overextended emergency responders. But not everyone has a smartphone. Plus, there are people who don't use social media at all. What about them?
We still use emergency alert systems, which go out through radio and television broadcast. A lot of that is changing to where it's gathering in some new forms of technology. So even gaming systems like the Xbox is being looked at as being a provider of emergency alerts.
Of course, the Xbox, televisions, and the internet require electricity, which may be out. So don't throw away that battery-powered radio just yet. It's still part of the plan. I'm Tom Bonsi reporting.